Every December the 31st, millions and millions of people around the world raise their voices in a chorus of Auld Lang Syne.
Should old acquaintance be forgot, never brought to mind.
How did a simple Scottish folk song with words most people scarcely understand or get right,
something about a cup and la la la,
become one of the world's most popular?
How Auld Lang Syne took over the world. Musician and broadcaster Doogie Vipond.
Tonight, we're going to chart Auld Lang Syne's rise to global dominance.
This is a song that Scotland's given to the world.
Yes, man, Scotland, it's New Year!
I'm Scottish, right?
We'll see how Hollywood played its part in spreading the word.
It's so cheesy and schmaltzy that it's got to be Auld Lang Syne.
What does this song mean? My whole life, I don't know what this song means.
And listen to its many incarnations.
And surely I bind mine.
The good.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind.
And the not so good.
Should old acquaintance be forgot.
Will take a record, Willy Walk.
It's very hard to think of anything that isn't sexual.
And get to grips with the movements.
There's no hand-holding, there's nothing done. Don't get off your chair.
Is it that or is it that? Woof!
No, not yet.
It's all getting confused. What's going on?
It's a wee thoughtful moment in a night of mayhem and enjoyment.
But before all that, we have to get back to the very roots of this global phenomenon, to where it all began. The birthplace, the seed from which world domination would sprout, the fertile land that nurtured Scotland's most famous son, and top taddies, the Gulf Coast, the Sunshine State. Ayrshire, the home of Robbie Burns.
Because without him, we wouldn't have Auld Lang Syne. For it was the ploughman poet that gave us our song.
In this cottage at Alloway was born Robert Burns, greatest of Scottish poets.
There is a part of the Scottish psyche and soul that is hugely creative and poetic, and Burns typifies that for me.
His poems have bound Scotsmen together all over the world in revered admiration.
He obviously liked a swally, and he obviously liked the birds, and he obviously liked a party, and so he seems real.
He kind of epitomises an early rock star. He's touring. He's out there with the buds and the booze and the boys and that.
We all knew about Robert Burns. We're all very proud of Robert Burns. And Auld Lang Syne was probably one of the few things that we could all recite immediately because we'd heard it so often.
Roy, which Scottish poet wrote the words to Auld Lang Syne?
Robbie Burns.
Correct.
People know about Burns, but what do they really know about Auld Lang Syne?
Perhaps we should confine our casual conversation to the subject of your recent poem, Auld Lang Syne.
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 Oh, this is genuine. I thought that Auld Lang Syne was referring to a person called Syne, who was old and tall.
In music, the title of which seasonal song is Scottish dialect for Oh Long Since.
And maybe at New Year, this old man called Lang Syne lived in his own and you took a cup of kindness round him.
We'll take a cup of kindness yet is a recurring line in which song? Oh Lang Syne, Early One Morning or Danny Boy?
It's like the recipe for tablet or the taste for iron brew. It's sort of buried deep within our kind of DNA.
I know it's maybe no nice to say this, but I think it's a bit of a dirge.
Robert Florence. BBC's Sherlock playing Auld Lang Syne on the violin. Elaine C. Smith.
Poor Burns, no royalties, no nothing. I mean, he's singing his songs. If that was the Rolling Stones, they'd have you in court, wouldn't they?
As officers linked arms, struggling to keep the gateway clear, the picket's response was witty and mocking.
Eggheads.
I think I'm going to go for Early One Morning.
Auld Lang Syne means the party's over, it's time to go home.
Cheer up, Fred. How about some music? To take over the world, a song needs to have a good tune.
Auld Lang Syne, Majo, but Auld Lang Syne.
This is the original Burns' Auld Lang Syne, performed beautifully by Mary Campbell.
For
The Clintons and Sean Connery approve, but Burns didn't care for the music, describing it as mediocre. And therefore,
the song quite literally changed its tune.
To take over the world, as Sir Sean perfectly illustrates, you need a bit of a crowd-pleasing number. Get the masses on their feet and get them singing.
Join me with 75,000 people here in Edinburgh and thousands more across the country for our own song of friendship, Auld Lang Syne.
Hogmanay Live 2012.
It was 3 years after Burns' death that Auld Lang Syne as we know it appears in print for the first time. George Thompson, an Edinburgh-based publisher, brought the words and music together in his select collection of original Scottish airs of 1799. They say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, and for Auld Lang Syne, there's been hundreds upon hundreds of covers and variations. Cue the music.
Good old acquaintance be forgot
and never brought to mind.
Good old acquaintance be forgot
and
Sanjeev Kohli.
It's such a simple tune. It is ultimately very adaptable.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind, you all.
It's probably the most covered song of all time, and it's probably had some of the most atrocious versions ever done of it.
We've got a sneaking regard for Chaz and Dave.
Huge Chaz and Dave fan. That's a lie.
It gives absolutely no quarter to the sentimental side. It's just a knees up, here we go, let's have a bloody time.
It's quite rousing. I can feel myself kind of thinking, will I do the Lambeth walk to this? Will I eat jelly deals? Or just turn it off? I turned it off.
As far as I'm concerned, Cliff Richard can do whatever he wants.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Yes, yes, I think you could see Cliff as a pioneer, boldly going where no singer had gone before.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Sir Cliff Richard.
It's amazing to me that no one ever thought of putting other lyrics to that melody. But mind you, I hadn't thought of it.
And then he sang it, and then the world knew why no one had done it before. I don't know why then he didn't, you know, take Stairway to Heaven and sing it to the tune of EastEnders, because that would work just as well, wouldn't it? It doesn't fit. It doesn't properly fit the tune.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
you're left with one leg up in the air, or one arm up in the air at the end of a line, and you've got to squeeze a couple of words in too hard to get them in. It doesn't quite work for me.
Amen, amen, amen. People found it offensive in some way.
Thank you, but it's not over. Amen.
DJs seem to find it so controversial that some of them refuse to play it.
Amen, amen, amen.
Did you play it?
No.
Ken Bruce. Cliff sings in a packed stadium.
It made it all the sweeter for me that, in spite of the opposition, we did it. Me and Auld Lang Syne, we got on really well. I would do it again. Is there another old traditional Scottish song that I could do something with? I don't know.
I'll be mine. We'll take a couple kindnesses.
What I love is when somebody really, really understands the lyric and understands what they're singing about. And the one person that I think is the best in the world at singing Auld Lang Syne is Eddie Reader.
Well, Tom, funnily enough, that's exactly who I'm off to see. Hitting the right note, Eddie's version taps into the very essence of Auld Lang Syne's universal appeal.
I think it is actually impossible to kind of listen to this song or to sing this song and for you not to get some level of emotion. I'm a middle-aged Scottish man and I'm emotionally, you know, bereft. But when this song comes on, it kind of turns the key and it opens up the floodgates, you know? It's just, it's
why
fantastic.
Does it do that?
But your version is the one that absolutely...
Does that kill you, does it?
Locks the... Oh, yeah. The key goes in the lock and it's like, in fact, at this point, I'm just going to stop.
Should all... So it stops there. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance... You're still up there. Be forgot and the days of old lang syne. And I think with that one, you're just... You're left in that hanging kind of place, and I think with that, whereas the other one gives you a little bit of comfort, a little bit of a hand on your shoulder.
That version, it stays in a melancholic place. It's all about, you know, it's all about the days going by, it's all about the people going by, and it stays there, and it kind of celebrates that.
And the most important thing about the song for me, anyway, apart from where it came from or the different versions, is that the verse... Here's a hand, my trusty freer, my friend, and gie's a hod o' thine, or give us a hand o' thine. I sometimes sing gie's a hod o' thine because I like that gie's a hod o' yours. It's like grabbing somebody.
Yeah, and all about the importance of friendship and belonging and fellowship and all that thing.
Yeah, but the actual physical act of going, gimme your
give
horn.
Your hand. Exactly.
And then everybody
gie's
does
a hand
it.
Of thine, yeah.
And I don't know one song in the whole planet that makes people do that.
I actually hadn't thought about that bit. I hadn't thought about a song that makes you...
Hold each other.
Hold each other.
Phil Cunningham says to me, did you hear about the Scotsman that loved his wife so much he nearly told her? So it's quite a difficult thing for us to do that, to hold each other.
Yes.
And that song made us do it. Clever man.
Yes, I did have a tear in my eye.
I can't handle it.
OK, enough already.
Grainy black and white footage of a smartly dressed man with short dark hair.
Now, for Auld Lang Syne to take over the world, we know it needs a catchy tune. But it also needs to have lyrics that everyone knows, right? Well, yes and no.
I don't think you could find anybody that could sing more than the first verse.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never... Something, something, something.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Da 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 for Auld Lang Syne.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and Auld Lang Syne. So here's... Oh, no. Where am I?
We two. Oh, no! It's usually two or three lines that we keep repeating, isn't it? What does Auld Lang Syne mean? Lang, maybe long. Syne, time, long time, old long times, don't know.
And then you get the argument because it should be for Auld Lang Syne, but people say, for the sake of what, and you get dirty looks if you do that.
For the sake of Auld Lang
Syne. Oh, yes, 4 points. 4 points.
If you're a Burns aficionado, which I'm not, apparently they'll shoot you if you do that.
Tony Roper.
My grandfather used to get incandescent with rage if anybody on TV said Zine instead of Syne.
Auld Lang Syne.
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 Really annoys me, and it shouldn't, but I don't like it.
As long as you hit Auld Lang Syne, you'll be fine.
Something also is about Burns saying, you'll buy your pint and I'll buy mine.
And surely I'll buy mine.
Aye, we'll get together. You can buy your own drink, by the way.
Trois sounds like three to me, because it's like French, right? Oui, trois. And then it's like, why is there three people cutting about there? What are they up to doing at the braise? Do you know what I mean?
Here's a horn, my trusty fear, and gie's a horn o' thine. And it does something, you can actually feel it in here.
Karen Dunbar.
Will Takarach and Willy Woch for Auld Lang Syne.
What is that?
That Willy Wot. That was funny when we were at school.
A good Willy Woch.
It's very hard to think of anything that isn't sexual.
A bullywacht is a decent drink.
It could be whiskey, it could be just, it could be a pint, it could be a bullywacht, a good old drink for the sake of auld lang syne.
When you go and look at the lines and you read them properly, it just brings the colour of the song and the words just come to life in your mind, and it's a good thing to do.
OK, so we've got the music and the lyrics, but...
As any band will know, to get a hit, you have to take your song on the road. And for Auld Lang Syne, it was no different.
The Scots have a long history of leaving home for pastures new, and from the end of the 18th century, Auld Lang Syne travelled with them. The song's sentiment of friendship, family and a good dose of melancholy stayed in the hearts of the Scottish diaspora, becoming stronger and more rooted as they became part of the fabric of the countries they settled in. One destination vital to our song's global domination was the good old US of A.
Black and white footage of the Statue of Liberty, then New York's network of streets today, and several of the city's iconic yellow taxis.
The Scots just couldn't get enough of the land of the free. They played their part in its establishment. Half the signatories of the Declaration of Independence were Scottish or of Scottish descent. The Scots fought in its wars, and with them came their music.
Doogies standing on a busy city street.
Well, I've come to New York to meet a couple of fellas to get an insight into what impact our Celtic contingent and that song had on America. Thanks, eh?
One example of Auld Lang Syne's influence in America is through its role in times of conflict. Military historian Bobby Wintermute has some fascinating insights.
Tell me a little bit about the importance of Auld Lang Syne during the Civil War, because that was a song that was, as I understand it, around very much at that time and very much in the conscience of people.
Oh, yes, very much so. The Union tries to discourage, if not outright ban, the song because, of course, the sentiments of returning home, of reconciliation, we're very sensitive. There's a condition, a medicalized condition described by Civil War physicians as nostalgia. We would recognize it today as PTSD. And the fear was that anything that would cause a soldier who was so afflicted to think back upon home might lead them to desert or cause other problems,
sure,
other complications.
So they banned Auld Lang Syne?
Well, they tried to restrain it. They tried to restrict it. But then, conversely, after the signing of the surrender terms, General Grant orders the band to play Auld Lang Syne, recognizing that the country and that they themselves have been through a tremendous upheaval and that now is the time for healing.
It's incredible we choose that song, though.
Oh, yeah.
There's plenty of other songs around at that
Many
time.
Many other songs, but Auld Lang Syne had become by this point almost part of the American songbook.
It's extraordinary.
It is. It really is.
A leafy park.
Next up, Central Park and Burns scholar Thomas Keith for a chat under the watchful eye of Robbie Burns' very own statue.
Why did that song in particular become such an important thing here?
There was something of a friendship and family feeling about it that was immediately understood, and I think it has something to do, of course, with that melody, as well as the Burns lyrics, because the Burns lyrics are sometimes known and sometimes not.
Now, give us a sense of just how important it was, that phrase as well, because it was really taken on board by the Americans in a way that perhaps wasn't by the Scots back home.
Yeah, I think it had multiple meanings. I mean, it, of course, was a song of reunion, not a song of parting as we think of it now. You find, starting in the 1880s, all kinds of greeting cards. And then when postcards came into vogue around 1900 to 1905, you have postcard greetings for just about every holiday in America, except New Year's Eve. It's hard to find a New Year's Eve Auld Lang Syne card,
really?
But you can find them for just about every other holiday. But you had Auld Lang Syne for Valentine's Day, Auld Lang Syne for the 4th of July, Auld Lang Syne this Easter, Auld Lang Syne for Halloween, Auld Lang Syne for St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day, really?
Auld Lang Syne for secular Christmas, Auld Lang Syne for religious Christmas. It was an understood phrase among Americans.
So the phrase Auld Lang Syne was clearly used by a lot of people, but what about the song itself? Was it widely known?
The song, we know, one of the reasons that we know it was widely known is because it was adapted for just about every political cause or occasion. It was used with the words changed for campaign songs, abolitionist songs, suffragette songs, human rights issues, all the way up through, I just found a Quaker song from the 1950s that uses Auld Lang Syne. And it was also sung, the actual song, at the closing of many, many occasions prior to New Year's Eve. It was used frequently as the alma mater of colleges and universities, changing some of the words, but then frequently having Auld Lang Syne in there. Of course, we know George M. Cohan used some in Yankee Doodle Dandy. Mm. So yes, it was extremely, extremely popular.
Auld Lang Syne has had a truly remarkable impact on America, part of the soundtrack to which America's history has played out. Resonating outwards from the early homesteads all the way to the White House. In 1936, on accepting the Democratic nomination for a second election, a jubilant President Roosevelt wanted to hear it after his speech.
Get the band to play Auld Lang Syne again.
FDR, then Ronald Reagan, on a small stage with Nancy.
I think the band was going to play something.
And in 1989, it was the song that Ronald and Nancy Reagan sang as they prepared to depart the White House for the last time.
As they both sing along, Reagan looks over at Nancy and puts his arm around her. From Manhattan's high-rise cityscape to Doogie, travelling along in a taxi.
OK, time to check out a few modern-day Scots who followed in the tradition and established themselves a new life in the new world.
First up, Aberfeldy-born star of stage and screen, Alan Cumming.
Let's see the teeth. OK, job's yours.
Who swapped Scotland for the high life of New York.
Well, that was clumsy.
Doogie.
How are you, Alan?
You'll have had your tea.
I've had my tea, friend. Good to see you.
You too.
So, do you think that people who come across and start living, especially Scottish people who come across and live, particularly America, that they become even more patriotic?
Well, I think you can go very much of the haggis and heather way. And, I mean, people here are very encouraging of that. Like, every day, practically, of my life, I get people going, Alan, I'm Scottish. And you go, really, oh, where from? I don't know. And, you know, that's the whiskey and the blood kind of side of things.
Time to chap up Elgin's very own star of Grey's Anatomy, actor and director Kevin McKidd.
We've got an ATV accident 2 minutes out.
Here we go.
He now calls L.A. home.
Kevin,
how are you? Hey, how are you doing?
Do you have a blather?
He doesn't actually live in a caravan.
So Hogmanay here in Los Angeles, slightly different from back in Elgin?
It is. It's like, it doesn't cut it, really.
No.
I almost feel now there's no point if you're not in Scotland.
Really?
No, there's no point, but it's just not the same. I don't find it to be the same, you know? I like to be in my home turf. I get kind of depressed when I'm not in Scotland on Hogmanay.
Right, really?
I get really like, all right, I'm going to my bed, you know. Whereas if I'm in Scotland, I'm like, I'm the guy till, you know, I'm the guy up till 6 a.m, you know, seeing what's left in all the empty bottles.
Also in LA, celebrity reporter Ross King.
Written by Tim Rice and the two boys from ABBA, Elaine Page and Barbara Dixon, and I know him so well. Well,
who treated a view of the Clyde for the Hollywood Sign.
The new movie comes out right at the end of the year.
In his backyard.
We got together. Chaos.
Ross.
Doogie.
How are you?
How did you get past security?
Well, you know.
Now, of course, you're a showbiz reporter. You must have been with some serious big stars and sung Auld Lang Syne from time to time, have you?
Actually, yes. I do remember singing Auld Lang Syne round a piano at Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas's wedding. Good. With Catherine belting out and Mick Hucknall from Simply Red. And they actually got the words right. I remember singing it with Vinnie Jones, who got the words completely wrong. All right, for the sight of Auld Lang Syne.
Did you tell him?
Didn't say a word.
No.
Well, bravo, Vinnie, I went. That was beautiful.
Auld Lang Syne is a song. Is that something that you've, in the past, been known to drink a few drinks and sing?
I can do, like everyone, I can do the first verse. But it's one of these songs that I think, it's like, you know, how you imagine if you were kind of programmed as a child spy in Russia, and then 25 years later, some song will play, and you'll be like, I must kill, you know. I think that's what Auld Lang Syne's like. Because it's sort of just, whatever you are, whenever you hear it, it just kind of sparks this emotional outpouring in you. And because I guess it's always done at New Year, and we, of course, are very sentimental at New Year, and it's also about the past and about friendship and things like that, and we all hold hands while we do it. And I think it's a really, as a song, I think it's got such, it's so potent. It's had such a potent effect on the world. But I also think it's hilarious that it also is kind of kitschy and basically nobody, you know, you, I love when you start singing it and everyone spoils, you'd all the acquaintance be forgot. And then, you know, after that, and then you think, oh, how dare they? They don't know the second line. Never brought to mind, should all the words or Auld Lang Syne. And something about a cup and la, la, la. You know, and then everyone just starts humming and stuff. So I think it's really fascinating how it is so, it means so much to people. And I think it generally probably does mean exactly what it was meant to mean and what the sentiment of it was, but it's all got a bit bloody throughout the centuries.
Do you think that your relationship with the song Auld Lang Syne changes through age and circumstance, perhaps?
When I was a little boy, I didn't really understand the song at all. It was just something my mum made me do, you know? And I think as soon as I started having babies and having kids, I'd become an adult and I'm no longer kind of this little boy anymore, you know? And the... Yeah, the words in the song really speak to that, I think, as well as lost friendship and rekindling of things. It really speaks to about that turning over a new leaf. One of the verses that I love most is, was it, we twa he paddled in the burn from morning time till dine, but seas between us braid he roared till Auld Lang Syne. That verse kind of says to me, it's about these two pals, you know, from the same town, but now there's a huge sea between them. You know, they live apart. He lives, one of them lives probably back in their hometown, and one of them's done sort of what I've kind of done and gotten as far away physically from that place. But there's a yearning there for it, you know, for that connection and that, you know, that camaraderie and that brotherhood. So I just think it's a, there's something about the words in that song that really get you, you know, they really get you. And I think everybody can relate to it, you know.
The song Auld Lang Syne, is that important to you and has it become more important since coming over here?
Auld Lang Syne, I kind of think of it in three phases in my life. The first phase always made me sad. Nothing to do particularly with the song itself, but just the fact as a kid growing up in Glasgow, it always meant the party was over. It meant the wedding was over. It meant the silver wedding anniversary was over, it was the engagement party was over. That's what I always remember thinking, oh no, the party's finished because they're playing Auld Lang Syne. So that was it. Then the second phase for me was my annoyed phase, because by that time I'd really moved to London and it annoyed me that people didn't know the right words. They sang it very strangely, sang it out of tune, they add in little bits. They would do, you know, here's a hand and do it right at the beginning. And I seem to spend my whole life going, no, not yet, not yet. No, 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 you, no, that's the second chorus. And why are you singing that? And that's wrong. And you're singing for the sake of Auld Lang Syne and things like that. That was my annoyed phase.
I think I'm still there.
And then now I celebrate it so much because it is such a beautiful song. I think the words are great. I think, especially when you get by that, the first line, because everyone doesn't realise that it's a question. It's a question. People think, why are we saying that? It shouldn't be celebrated, you know? And so I think now, and it does make me, it makes me quite emotional, even just now thinking about it, that whenever I hear it here, it does make me think of home.
And you're getting upset now, obviously, thinking about it. To sing it, does it unlock lots of emotions in you that perhaps as Scottish people we maybe aren't in touch with as much as we could be, perhaps?
I will always think my mum playing the piano. And, yeah, you know, just, she would just eat at the end of even a family party, and she would play it. And that's a special one.
Absolutely, the most special.
Yeah.
So let's just get a sense now of how much Ross King has settled into life in Los Angeles. I saw this earlier on. This is incredible. Look at this.
There we are. You can take the boy out of butt. Can't have your tablet. Amazing I've still got my own teeth. Well, almost.
Macaroon bars, Tunnock's caramel wafers, tea cakes, and Brune's Scottish fudge.
In my concert, I wanted to sing something Scottish, and so I sang the song from the Steamy, and it's about on, it's set on New Year's Eve, and so I sang that song, and I did it with a cello, my cellist played it, and so at the end, the cellist went... Not a dry eye in the house.
Oh, fantastic.
Totally, just like everyone weeping. Whatever I've done it. Even in, you know, even abroad.
So you're exploiting it as well.
I mean, totally exploiting it for purely sentimental reasons, but that's what it has. It has done it itself for centuries, so.
Absolutely.
A song can be embraced around the globe, but to remain popular for centuries, it needs to have more than just a good tune and a catchy chorus. Auld Lang Syne has, at its heart, a sentiment that has proved universal.
That song will bring me to tears every time. Not actual floods of tears, I'm not... But I will get just a little pricking behind the eyes, because it does make you think of times gone by.
I think when you're singing Auld Lang Syne, you can almost feel your ancestry bearing down on you. You remember grannies, aunties, uncles that aren't there anymore. And that's what the song's about. It's about remembering people from your past and raising a glass to them.
That song means different things on different levels the older you get, and that's the sign of a really good song.
People dancing with their arms around each other.
It's about remembering old friends. So if you're six, what are you reminiscing about? The guy that you haven't seen for a week, you know? Oh, I remember Derek. Oh, man, what happened to Derek? You see them tomorrow. Oh, aye, right now.
The way I think about it is thinking about pals that you've not seen for a while and family that you've not seen for a while. And that thing that Scottish people love doing about singing, about being far away from Scotland, which is probably why it's spread around the world, because Scottish people have spread around the world.
Not a word has been printed or spoken about their departure, but there's a small crowd there to join in Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang Syne, with its popular tune and themes of friendship and remembrance, has had real resonance and special meaning in times of conflict.
Footage of troops singing on a ship's deck, then Doogie in a church.
And not just for Scottish soldiers.
There's no question this is a song with friendship and sentiment at its heart, taking on a huge significance during the Christmas truce of World War I.
The truce was a series of unofficial ceasefires that took place along the Western Front in 1914. The guns fell silent as troops from both sides celebrated man's humanity through friendship and, of course, song. A letter written by Captain Sir Edward Hamilton Westrell Hulse of the Scots Guards to his mother describes the remarkable events.
My dearest mother, just returned to billets again after the most extraordinary Christmas in the trenches you could possibly imagine. Words fail me completely in trying to describe it. Scots and Huns were fraternising in the most genuine possible manner. Every sort of souvenir was exchanged. And so we went on, singing everything from Good King Wenceslas to the Tommy song, and ended up with Auld Lang Syne, which we all, English, Scots, Irish, Prussian, and Württembergers, joined in. It was absolutely astounding, and if I had seen it on a cinematograph film, I should have sworn that it was faked.
A clip from Charlie Chaplin's Gold Rush.
In the early part of the 20th century, a new industry was emerging in America, one that would bring Auld Lang Syne to an even greater audience around the world. The influence of Tinseltown on the success of Auld Lang Syne cannot be underestimated. Right from the very first clapperboard, Hollywood knew a good song when it heard one.
I think Hollywood probably has played a part in remarketing and rebranding a song that you were never sure if it was really brilliant or actually just a bit naff.
The song was and is the perfect soundtrack for those key emotional moments so beloved by the movies.
It presses nice wee emotional buttons, Auld Lang Syne, you know what I mean? Because it makes you reminisce.
Goodbye, pal. So long.
So it's used craftily, I think, by directors to just turn the tears on, you know what I mean? Let's get them greeting.
Lassie, will you sing me the song once more?
I'm sure I've watched a few things which have made me want to physically heave. The sentiment's been so thickly laid on.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never...
Claire Grogan.
And I can have a really vivid memory of being a wee girl and seeing Shirley Temple sing that song. And it made me think, the whole world knows about Auld Lang Syne.
We called wee lassies like that at school wee grannies. That's what you look at that wee granny singing. What are you doing? Look, why are you comforting a soldier? Why are you comforting a soldier? You're not supposed to be doing that. You're supposed to be playing. Why are you in there, you wee granny?
We'll take a cup of kind.
And I do like it if somebody tries, like Shirley Temple, tries to sing Gias. And it's just really quite sweet.
And Gias a hand of thine.
You know, she's getting a wee bit gallus there. Gias a hand of thine. You know, that's good effort. Well done.
For the days of Auld Lang Syne.
See, if I was on my deathbed and the ghost of Shirley Temple came in and started singing at me, I probably would get a bit emotional. Terrified as well, but emotional, I think, thinking about Scotland and, you know, thinking about all the, you know, the hills and all the stuff I never go and see.
Shh. He's asleep.
Oh. And across the decades, Auld Lang Syne has continued to feature in some of Hollywood's biggest hits.
I love that scene in Harry Met Sally when he tells her that he loves her and all the reasons that he loves her.
I came here tonight because when you realise you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
And Auld Lang Syne's playing and Meg Ryan, pre-surgery. What a different woman, wasn't she? Has got all that, you know, that glistening tear. And then he goes into questioning the song.
What does this song mean? My whole life, I don't know what this song means. I mean, should old acquaintance be forgot? Does that mean that we should forget old acquaintances? It doesn't mean that if we happen to forget them, we should remember them, which is not possible because we already forgot them.
I just love it. It still makes me laugh when I see it because I thought, yeah, that's the way we all feel. What is it?
I think actually it was culturally important that Harry broke down the lyrics of Auld Lang Syne for an international audience. I think it's important.
Well, maybe it just means that we should remember that we forgot them or something.
Whether they ever come up with an answer, I don't know, but they get off each other, and that's what we're interested in.
When Harry Met Sally, directed by Rob Reiner.
Is it Sex and the City?
Carrie hangs up the phone.
They choose. I think a lovely way of doing Auld Lang Syne, with Mary Campbell singing it.
We got a call from the production team for Sex and the City to say that Sarah Jessica Parker requested that this song was the one they used in the New Year's scene.
Carrie goes walking in the snow.
I went, oh, jeepers, I'm going to have to go and see this movie.
Charlotte's at home with her family.
I like the way they used it in the film. I was quite taken aback. Focus leaves the shoes and the dresses and moves into forgiveness and compassion.
Carrie hurries through the snow to Miranda's.
If anybody had ever told me that I would well up watching Sex and the City, I would have said you were crazy. But I'm doff my hat to that moment.
Sex and the City, directed by Michael Patrick King.
Yeah, I think the first time I realised that it was being sung elsewhere was when I saw It's a Wonderful Life.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, George!
Merry Christmas, George!
I don't know about anybody else, but I start crying as soon as that movie starts.
Oh, George!
Everyone does love that film, and the end is just so happy and it's so cheesy and schmaltzy that if you're going to have any song in it, it's got to be Auld Lang Syne. It just ticks all the boxes.
To my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
You're already in tears. You're like, I can't bear this. This is too beautiful. And then you hear that starting as well, and you're like, no, that ain't off, for God's sake. Like, give us a chance here.
A clip from It's a Wonderful Life, directed by Frank Capra, in which a man playing an accordion is singing along with a room full of people.
It's the perfect combination. It shows exactly what the power of Auld Lang Syne is, that you're feeling sorry, you're feeling a wee bit better, and you're feeling delighted by the end of it.
It's perfect, isn't it? It's just absolutely perfect.
A world map.
Auld Lang Syne's appeal isn't just confined to the movies, or Scots for that matter. The song's sentiment struck a chord with all who heard it. Embraced and adapted into native languages across the globe, the words are often changed, but the very core of the song's message remains. In India and Bangladesh, you have the Bengali song Memory of the Good Old Days, Purano She Diner Kotha.
A clip from the film Agneshwar, directed by Aurobindo Mukhopadhyay. Now footage of troops saluting.
From 1919 until 1948, the lyrics of Korea's national anthem were sung to the tune that was introduced to the country by Western missionaries. A novelty clock whose chime was Auld Lang Syne gave Mohammed Jamil Didi of the Maldives the music to which their national anthem was set. Its popularity in Russia results from an admiration of the people's poet Robert Burns. The USSR were the first to honour him with a commemorative stamp in 1956. In China, Auld Lang Syne is so long established, many people assume it's a native song.
People in red and gold costumes climbing a large pole.
It's popular at farewell parties in Mexico. And closer to home, it's the tune to many European scouting gatherings. The Danes have it as a folk song.
A white-haired man singing to an outdoor audience, then a street packed with Dutch football fans in orange.
And the Dutch use Auld Lang Syne as the tune for their football song, We Love Orange. Auld Lang Syne has certainly popped up in some surprising and unusual places around the globe, none more so than right here, the land of the rising sun, Japan.
Doogie outside a temple, then bustling city streets.
The Japanese got their hands on Auld Lang Syne in the 1890s, when it was introduced into the school curriculum by an American teacher, Luther Whiting Mason, in a wave of westernization. The Japanese, like others, played with the words, making it their own, but the heart remains. It sings of remembrance, nostalgia, and friendship, the light of the fireflies, Otaru no Hikari.
As the song has become something of a Japanese school anthem, time to go back to the classroom, I reckon.
Now Doogie's standing in a small hall watching a smartly dressed man conduct a student choir.
Coincidentally, Auld Lang Syne fits perfectly into the Japanese musical five-note scale. And the girls of Ochanomizu High School Chorus Club certainly do the song proud.
Different words, different language, and still that tune gets you right here. Amazing. Tell me about that song. What does it mean?
We sing this song when we graduate from school. And yes, and I have many memories about this song.
I
That's amazing. I just asked what song about. It's caused a massive amount of debate.
One of the students gestures enthusiastically to her colleagues.
I guess it means different things to different people. Just like Auld Lang Syne.
Time to bring Hotaru no Hikari up to date. Many businesses in Japan use it to let customers know it's closing time. DJ and TV host Kaoru Kanazawa has promised to show me this in action.
Is this one shop? Look at the size of it.
So, we're off to the shops.
As they stand in the aisle of a large electronics shop listening to the music, Doogie lifts a finger and grins in recognition. Kaoru smiles and nods.
That was the song. I heard the song there.
Mm-hmm. Can you recognise this song?
Yeah, it's well, to the tune of Auld Lang Syne, as I would recognise it, but...
Exactly.
Hotaru
no Hikari in Japanese, yeah.
Wow. Goodness.
Customers file out of the shop.
We all know we have to leave.
It's quite strange for me, I have to say, hearing it, but it's nice, actually. It's lovely. So, everyone's leaving. I think we're the last ones. Yeah. So where are we going now?
Do you want to go to drink?
Yes, I do. Very good idea. Very good idea indeed. Let's go.
I thought you'd never ask. It's not only shops that use the song. Everything from restaurants to Disneyland Tokyo end their day with a gentle sling your hook, all to the strains of Auld Lang Syne. Brilliant.
In a bar.
Hotaru no Hikari, this song reminds us about good times of school. So when we hear this at the shop or the department store to get it that we have to leave this place, we don't feel that bad. Like Irish pubs or British pub or maybe Scottish pub as well. Maybe they say, folks, get out. Party's over.
That's exactly.
Drink it and just go.
Exactly.
But we don't say that.
No.
I guess we're polite people.
Much more gentle. Okay. Anyway, how are you enjoying that Scottish whiskey?
It's so nice. Smooth and kind of a little bit of sweetness in it.
Uh-huh.
It's nice. Nice good. Like you.
That's good. Bless you. Cheers.
Sweet.
They look quite similar in colour.
Yeah.
The barman.
There it is, the song, which means, very politely, we're being thrown out of this bar.
Exactly, but beautiful way.
It's a very nice way. So that's it, the end of my trip to Japan.
Right?
It's all over.
No, there is one more thing that you have to do when you're in Japan.
Okay.
They're singing karaoke.
Thank you for coming to Japan.
Oh, it was a pleasure, absolute pleasure. And thank you for not singing that last verse and leaving me to do it my own. It's very kind of you. Yes, indeed, Tokyo, thank you very much indeed. Good night.
People linking hands.
Auld Lang Syne certainly proved a little challenging in Japanese. But that's nothing compared to how the world got to grips, quite literally, with the Scottish etiquette of when to give a hand.
The dance that comes with this song and the crossing of the arms and it's mind-boggling.
I've got no idea what you do with your hands.
And I still don't know, actually, when the arms cross over the other way.
Is it that or is it that? Or does it matter? Can it be either?
I think it's this. I don't think it's ever this.
Crossed arms.
But I might be wrong.
There's always a bit of stomach with people going, no, it's not now. When do we move forward? When do we not? When do we do this?
And you really are fudging it, looking at people.
Really anything I do in a touching sense, anything that involves any kind of physical contact, I let the other person take the lead. I really just wait and feel what the mood's like in the room. I always make sure to ask them afterwards if it was a pleasant experience for them as well. I've not had any complaints so far.
Do you know what used to bother me about Auld Lang Syne were the kind of hand fascists?
And the hand crosses over, here's a horn, my trusty fear.
the person on this side and gies a horn of thine. And that's how it's done.
I think there's a notion that Scottish males aren't very tactile.
You needed to kind of manly up, by some reason making a saltire with your arms. That maybe that's maybe a bit more butch.
I do get really annoyed when people cross hands right at the start. I'm like, no, not yet. That matters to me. You might just be going deedle-eedle in the background, but, you know, do the movements, darling.
Didn't somebody make the Queen do it? Was it not Tony Blair or somebody?
You're not supposed to touch Her Majesty the Queen. That's very bad form. But it's the one time when you can gie a hand. I don't know if she runs forward. I can't see it myself. But you will certainly get a horn of Her Majesty the Queen.
At the end, there is the massive crush as well, the in and out. It's a bit like an extreme form of the hokey cokey.
It's all getting confused. What's going on?
If you end up in the middle and you've not expected it the first time and waves of cross-armed people are coming at you shouting about having Willy Wacht and oh, it's scary.
Black and white film of a mass gathering, then fireworks over Edinburgh Castle.
Auld Lang Syne has been used to mark the end of many an occasion over the years, but this is the one we most associate with our song.
New Year is very, very important to Scottish people, much more so than Christmas or Easter or birthdays or any of that kind of thing.
31st of December, the countdown to midnight. Fireworks, friends and family.
You know, there's that expectation about New Year has to be a great time. So sometimes you're singing the song thinking, right, come on, this is a good one.
In Hogmanay, you're allowed to be as Scottish as you like, which usually means steaming over the back of the telly. That's why you don't know what I'm saying just now, because you're steaming, you're over the back of the telly.
You know, if there's ever a threat of something changing a little bit in Hogmanay, edging. Putting Jules Holland on BBC One in Scotland? No. Excuse me, I want shortbread and I want Jackie Bird and I want all the nonsense and I want to moan about it as well, but if don't dare change it.
We've been singing Auld Lang Syne in Scotland to mark Hogmanay for many a year. But its association with New Year's Eve in the rest of the world is crucial to its success in becoming one of the most recognised songs on the planet. And to see that on a grand scale, we need to go back to America.
Now this is where Auld Lang Syne really establishes itself as the New Year song of the modern era, New York's Times Square. An estimated 1 million people take to the streets here with a further TV audience of a billion to celebrate the passing of the old and usher in the new. Can you imagine a million people right here? It'd be incredible.
Times Square may be where it's at for the Big Apple's New Year's, that's American for Hogmanay, but the route to Auld Lang Syne's involvement go back over 85 years to a hotel a few blocks away.
Here is Mr. New Year's Eve himself, Guy Lombardo.
The dapper band leader makes his entrance.
Thank you, George Brian, and ladies and gentlemen, it's certainly wonderful having you all here to help celebrate New Year's Eve at the Roosevelt Grill.
Mr. New Year is no understatement. Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadian Big Band were instrumental in cementing Auld Lang Syne as America's New Year's anthem.
For the stroke of midnight, when you see 12 o'clock, you're going to hear our Auld Lang Syne played from the Roosevelt Grill.
Guy heard the song being sung by Scottish immigrants in Canada in his youth. From 1929 till his death in 1977, Guy's show was beamed directly to US homes, firstly on radio, then TV, reaching an audience of millions. In fact, so accustomed to hearing Guy conduct Auld Lang Syne, most Americans thought he'd written it. And where it all began, the Roosevelt Hotel to meet Guy's godson and one-time drumming band member, Joe Van Blerk.
So how did it come about that Auld Lang Syne was the tune that was played by the band at that the bewitching hour?
Well, when they were playing on radio, of course, they played on the CBS network before midnight on New Year's Eve. They played on the NBC network after midnight, and right around midnight, they needed music to bridge the gap between the two broadcasts. And that's when they decided that Auld Lang Syne would be the perfect song to play. And the sponsor of their show was Robert Burns Cigars.
This is the Robert Burns Panatella, an especially wonderful cigar.
And that's how it became associated with New Year's Eve, and of course became Guy Lombardo's theme song and became associated with him, and he, of course, became Mr. New Year's Eve.
Guy Lombardo conducting.
So it was almost as if the new year couldn't start until Auld Lang Syne had finished.
That's right. It couldn't start until Guy Lombardo said it was the new year.
That's a lot of power.
Happy New Year, everybody. A very happy new year, especially from all of us, and especially from Clara.
Well, there you go. That's how it took over the world. So come midnight on Hogmanay, no matter where you are or who you're with, spare a thought to Auld Lang Syne and raise your voices. But for goodness sake, try and get the words right, would you?
Friendship is human to human. Any race, any people understand that human sentiment.
This is a song that Scotland's given to the world. It's an international anthem.
I'm sure they sing it in Jupiter at Hogmanay.
Auld Lang Syne is about humans loving each other and wishing each other well. Oh, let's, and you know, long may this last, you're thinking.
It should be the Scottish national anthem, really.
And no matter what, when the bells go, you're up on your feet and singing that song, or should I say, bluffing your way through it.
You couldn't do that way, rocking around a Christmas tree.
I wish I'd done it.
Sydney Devine.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot for Auld Lang Syne? Yeah. I rest my case, Your Honour.